John.
People I know are in bed because they're old. Welcome to another episode of The Dawn of Shades. I am your host, Gia Scott, and today is June 24th, 2008. We've got a lot going on this past week. It's officially summer now, and I know it's official hot as far as I'm concerned here in New Orleans. We're also looking at a lot of stuff coming up. We've endured record-breaking gas prices, and for the first time, Americans are driving less. I know I am. I don't calculate visits with friends in just mileage, but in dollars needed for the trip. I know a trip to the Mississippi Gulf Coast where some of my friends live is going to set me back at least $60. And that's without a soda pop for the road. We've had some devastating floods right in the heart of America, wiping out mile after mile of crops that would have been harvested in the fall to produce things like ethanol, animal feed, human food, and silage for cattle that produce the milk and the beef. People there lost everything in many cases, and my heart goes out to them. I have heard that FEMA is doing a slap-bang good job there, though, and I'm glad to hear it's not the same aggravation that you heard about here in the post-Katrina days. Besides the personal losses, which are devastating for those who have suffered them, we're looking at nationwide effects that won't appear for weeks or months, too. I've heard some predictions on the newscast this morning that beef and dairy products were going to go through the roof here shortly. Ooh, yee-haw. We're looking at increases already fueled by the high cost of the fuel to transport them to market. So we have high costs for energy, high costs for food, and winter is going to arrive in the fall the same as it does every single year. What if it's not one of those mild winters where demand for heating oil isn't incredibly high? What if it's one of those winters where one major blizzard after another marches across the plains and onto the eastern seaboard? Trucks are to stand still with goods and supplies, trains can't move, mass transit in cities isn't running, and snow plows are few and far between, because of the cost of clearing the roads being so high. Businesses and factories are closed, and unemployment starts skyrocketing. How will you survive? Have you thought about what even short-term issues such as these, whether they are inspired by the economy, weather, natural disasters, or an invasion of tribbles from space? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not all about doom and gloom. I'm actually amazingly optimistic about the future and our options there. I'm newly engaged and looking forward to us building a life together. I want to thank everyone for their emails of congratulations, and there's a poll posted on the website about my mysterious fiancé. It's only been a week since he was officially worn down to accepting my proposal. Girls, it is a leap year. I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to propose, unless it was, but that's what I was told. So I'm still in the clear there. I found that a very interesting tidbit. The women are only supposed to propose if it's a leap year. So, better get it done, or you'll have to wait another 4 years for your next chance. I was at a loss over the ring thing, though. It wasn't like I could just go to the jewelers and say, I need a size 12 engagement ring for him. So I decided on a milk jug ring with nice shiny rock glue to it, but I've since come to my senses. We might be Twitter-pated, but we do live and work in the real world. Such a massive ring would get in the way. Blue milk jug rings really just don't match that many outfits either. And a ring like that just sort of sits there and yells, hey, I'm a nonconformist! And we both tend to like to surprise people with that little tidbit. I should have consulted our guest tonight about the ring. She might have had some creative ideas. I may have to in regards to the wedding outfit, as conforming may not be where we go with that. I just asked my mother to crochet something for it, which now has her occupied with the pursuit of patterns, which is much better than occupied with pressuring me into setting a date now. Eloping is starting to look pretty good, though. But in terms of tonight's guest, she has much more to offer than just advice on duct tape. Although she is known as the duct tape diva, I would like to welcome Julia Cole to the program tonight. Julia, would you be so kind as to introduce yourself to the audience?
Oh, most certainly, and welcome, and hello, everyone. Namaste. My name is Julia Cole. I am the Empress of Empowerment, a.k.a. the Duct Tape Diva, and I am a psychic medium, as my good friend and dear beloved spiritual sister calls me. I'm a tall medium at large. that would be with Shelly calling me that. I'm also have my own radio talk show. Internet streaming on Blog Talk Radio Wednesday through Fridays. Right now we're on hiatus, so I can get my books finished and published. One of which will be published at the end of this summer. And let me see. I'm a mother of five children. I loosely call them that, and spawns of hell.
Uh-huh.
And I'm now down to seven cats.
Oh, only seven.
Yeah, I managed to find the other 11 nice homes. And let me see what else. Oh, other than that, oh, I just, you know, sit around and play Scrabble online most of the time. You know.
And here I thought I was doing badly because I have two dogs, two cats, and they've outnumbered me and I lost.
And up our ditch, it up here too.
Well, at least I don't have to worry about adding things like roads and birds to my menagerie, because the tolerance level would be so short that the lifespan would be counted in seconds, not days. Yeah. The cats
you're
and the dogs
married.
Would not tolerate.
I want to get right into it. So you're getting married.
Yes. I announced it. I dropped the bombshell on everybody last week at the beginning of the show.
Oh,
I actually got engaged last week, Tuesday, you know, a week ago.
Well, happy engagement. Looking at a, looks like to me, though, you're going to get married rather quickly. I hope your mother can crochet rather fast.
Well, see, you know, I thought, you know, we would shoot for, you know, a decade or two or three for an engagement. You know, let's expand the fun stage.
I don't know. I see a Halloween wedding.
Ah.
That would be interesting. A Halloween wedding.
A Halloween wedding. Yeah, my mother would have a ball of that. Halloween's her favorite holiday.
Oh, it's
she used to have a room that stayed decorated year-round in Halloween. I guess it's no wonder that I'm like I am. I mean, you know, we had Halloween decorations year-round. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not that big of a fan.
It started off sort of a tongue-in-cheek thing, and it kind of got away, and then finally got to the point of the room was bursting with Halloween stuff.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, we would always have this conflict. I'd just get the cobwebs down, and here would come my mother with her fake cobwebs. I'm like, no.
I have a friend who grows cobwebs. He says he adds to the ambiance. I said, okay. He goes, well, I tear them down. They're only going to be rebuilt later. And he goes, besides, it gives the spiders somewhere to live. Don't want to have homeless spiders, you know.
Oh, well, I have to admit, years and years ago, I was traveling with some friends, and we broke down in California. And so we were staying with some other friends of theirs that I didn't know before this while the car was being fixed. And it was like staying with the Addams family, because these people went outside and caught spiders and brought them in the house. I hate spiders. Spiders to me are like evil aliens, you know? And it was, for me, it was like staying in a in the Addams family house, you know? It was just so weird to me. Catching the spiders and bringing them in, and I was like, you know, even at you.
What was that?
I don't know. That was a strange sound.
Who is this Ian person? I'm gonna
Oh, in the virtual auditorium we have a number of interesting people. Folks, if you would like to raise your hand in the virtual auditorium to ask a question or make a statement, feel free to do so. I'll call on you just as soon as I can. Outside of that, you can also call in on the toll-free number just as soon as I find it so I can repeat it. I'll be here somewhere.
Oh, there, Mr. GR put it up on the screen.
Okay. Well, it is 1-877-786-0562. You can call in on the toll-free number and, hey, give me some wedding advice for a Halloween wedding, whatever trips your trigger. Or tell me how to make a duct tape gown.
Oh, you know, that's very interesting because I'm in the midst of making a duct tape evening gown myself.
Uh-huh.
Because I do attend the paranormal conference here in Louisville, Kentucky, where I reside. We have once a year, the Louisville Ghost Hunters host the Mid-South Paranormal Conference. And I always show up in my duct tape bodice, but this year I thought I'd be more elaborate into an evening gown. Not an easy task, let me tell you.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I went to the thrift store and found an old, long, you know, nightgown. This is an old nightgown, and what I'm doing is I'm putting the duct tape on, applying it on the material. Of course, it shrinks, I found. If you put it on the material shrinks.
Ah!
So now I got to go and find some more material to add to it. I don't know what's going on with that, but I'm hoping it'll turn out okay. At least.
Yeah, well, I know I did use duct tape to make a, a dressmaker's dummy. What you do is you put on a T-shirt and, your underwear and your T-shirt. You are covered in loosely taped on plastic. And then you are covered in duct tape to make the dummy. Right up around the base of your neck and then down mid-thigh. And then it's cut off of you. And then it's filled with spray foam, that insulating foam, vine cam.
Wow, Nastasia, I should have thought of doing that. I usually put it right directly on my skin, but this new duct tape glue that they're using, I'm allergic to it. Because it's a new glue. But I have duct tape in all colors. I even have it in camouflage and tartan plaid. Thank you very much. Anyway, Ann, I'm going to have to find more out about Ann. But anyway.
Yeah, you know, duct tape does come in. And now, I did hear from your publisher that in your new book you did manage to work in a reference or two to duct tape.
Of course I did. It wouldn't be right for me to write a book and not mention duct tape. As a matter of fact, the hero in the book, she is a supernatural hero, basically, and she's found herself in modern day time, and she's discovered this incredible new weapon. Roll of duct tape.
Uh-huh.
Of all the powers that she has, she loves duct tape. She's telling her mentor, she said, I found it. I found the ultimate weapon. It has to be the best weapon of all time. And she's really pleased with herself. And he's asking, what is it? It's called duct tape. Yeah, I had to put it in there somehow. And that's how we did it.
Uh-huh.
And she does.
Well, actually, you know, duct tape is one of those things that when you want to sit and speculate about, you know, the old days. How did we survive before duct tape?
Well, you know what? I don't even want to think about that. That's sacrilege. Okay.
You know, duct tape, super glue. I mean, they use super glue in surgery now.
Oh, I know. I know.
You know, I do a lot with animal rescue, and we get these dogs and cats back that have been spayed. And or neutered, and their incisions are super glued.
Gorilla glue, by the way, I know that a lot of people say, oh, Gorilla, I've got Gorilla glue, and I'm going to tell you something, that is a waste of product. Go with the super glue, okay? I've tested it. Stay with duct tape, super glue. That's, you know, standbys.
Well, you know, I do use a number of glues. I mean, I use wood glue. I use good old-fashioned white glue, you know, the same stuff
yeah.
we used in school.
The Elmer's glue.
Yeah, yeah. And I can remember the height of enjoyment as, you know, a second grader is coating your fingers with glue and pulling it off to see your fingerprints.
Oh, yes. It's, you could pretend you were pulling off your skin, you know.
Yeah.
The little... dweeby kids around.
Well, I actually did do that to my feet one time. I was going through a paramilitary academy, and my boots were a little bit too tight, and I needed them ready to wear the next day, which meant soaking them with water wasn't going to work because I wasn't going to be able to get them polished before I had to have them on at 5 a.m., you know? And so someone told me, you fill them with rubbing alcohol, and it evaporates out quicker, and you can still, you know, wear them tomorrow. So I did. They neglected to tell me, while you've got your feet in them, cover your feet with plastic. So after you soak your feet in rubbing alcohol for a couple of hours, about a week later, all the skin comes off.
Oh, my God.
So I don't recommend filling your boots with rubbing alcohol and wearing them to stretch them out, unless you do cover your feet in plastic, because it was a less than pleasant memory. Because as I walked across the carpet in my room, my roommate pointed out that I was leaving footprints behind, literally.
Oh, yuck. And by the way, folks in the chat room, I am the Empress in the chat room. I know there's been kind of...
Yeah, the Virtual Auditorium is a very, very fun place. It's for those of you who are listening and have never been there. You go to paltalk.com, create your nickname, download the program, sign in, go to the social issues category, and under miscellaneous, you will find the UFO Paranormal Radio Network room, and you can join us and have a really good time hanging out with a bunch of people who have a great sense of humor and some interesting topics.
Yeah, sure. I wanted to, I know we were wondering what we were going to talk about tonight. I do want to tell, since Shelley lit it out of the bag last week, Children of the Luminaries is the name of my first book that's coming out at the end of the summer, Gia.
Okay. Don't you have a second one coming out?
Yes, and that's...
You have two.
The other one is going to be out before Christmas. It's going to be, you know, just in time for Christmas. And it's called Interview with a Spirit Guide. And it's an actual interview that I had with my own spirit guide. Different conversations and everything, and we sit down and we talk about just everything. I mean, uh-huh. Everything. And he gives his 2 cents worth on everything. But yeah, it's conversations he and I had over the years.
Well, that's sort of an interesting topic in itself. I mean, many people have a spirit guide, but don't necessarily recognize that as what that voice they hear is. You know, how do you find your spirit guide and get in touch with them in a conscious manner?
Well, you don't find them because they're not lost. That's one thing.
Well, they may be lost to you.
Well, no, they're not. They're standing right there beside you.
But if you don't recognize it, then you feel like you're lost.
A lot of people, I like saying it because people say, how can I find... You can't find something that's not lost. No, what you can do is that you tell them, they can hear you, okay? They can hear you. They're hearing us right now speak. They know who you are, and they do communicate with you on a regular basis, at least, you know, according to Antari, who's my spirit. He doesn't like being called a spirit guide. He thinks it's very, it's a very inappropriate term. It's a companion, okay? He, you know, your buddy, and whatever. Anyway, I like spirit guide because it annoys him. But anyway, your spirit guide, according to Antari, communicates with you anywhere between 30 to up to 200 times a day, bringing you communications. Sometimes the communications are so subtle that you just think it's your imagination, or it's a coincidence, or it's something that, you know, just happens. It's just chance. Well, nothing is random. Nothing is a coincidence. Nothing just happens. Everything is set in motion. Excuse me. And Think about all those times you were sitting. Let's say, for instance, you were sitting at home and you were thinking of a particular question as to, you know, what am I going to be doing with my life? I don't want to be, you know, a secretary all my life. I feel like I have something more to do. And all of a sudden, you're just sitting there. And this is just an example. And all of a sudden, a commercial comes on television that ignites this motivation in you. Okay, there was a story of a client that I had. She was wondering whether or not to follow through on quitting her job, on pursuing, on doing, you know, focusing on becoming a Reiki healer, right, and helping people. Mm-hmm. And she was sitting there, and all of a sudden she said, I swear to you, I kid you not, she says, Julia, she says, the television clicked on by itself, and there was a Nike commercial that says, just do it. She just, and I was sitting there going, you know, okay, I'm not very impressed by such messages, because, you know, and she said, Julia, she grabs me, she said, do you understand? She said, was that my guide? And I go, yes, that was your guide, you know, flipping the TV on. This is what guides do. They will bring people into your life. Like, you ever thought of somebody? All of a sudden, this person comes to mind. And then the next thing you know, there they are in front of you, or they're calling you. That's your guide whispering into your ear, so-and-so is going, you know, so-and-so, so-and-so, whoever so-and-so is. And then the next thing you know, or you have a question, or you're feeling really down, and somebody calls or shows up with the right words, or perhaps you're the one who's giving that person the right words to lift them up, to help them. That's your guides at work helping you to connect with other people, helping you to hear the message that they're sending you, because we don't pay attention to what they're saying, so they have to use, like, whatever at their disposal, other people, television, radio, music is the number one thing that they use to get their messages across, okay? Have you ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden there's a song playing in your head and you turn on the radio and there's that song playing and you're wondering and you have to listen to the message and all of a sudden you remember what the message to that song was for you, the meaning? That your guide reminding you of something, of a message that you held true to yourself. They talk to us constantly. They are always communicating with us. A lot of people.
It wasn't just I got a wild hair and decided to propose.
Mm-mm. It was guides work with other guides. See, they know our chart or our script, okay? They are the ones who helped us create the script that we use while we're here. So they know what the next step is before we do most of the time. And so they will get in contact with all these people that's supposed to be, you know, in your life and start bringing them in. It's, okay, think of a director of a play, okay? They cue in the, you know, the players when they're supposed to come in.
Uh-huh.
You know, just like a television show and everything. And they're directing. See, you're a big Broadway production. Each person on this planet is a humongous big deal, believe it or not. And you're playing.
Oh, I'll tell you what. You know, my little play was written by someone with a very bent sense of humor.
Of course it wasn't. Her name was Gia. We all have some sick, twisted... you know, everybody thinks, you know, the greatest writers ever were people like Shakespeare. Hey, let me tell you something. Shakespeare even said it himself. Shakespeare was envious of those still in the spirit realm because they said all these wonderful plays being created, and I have no part in it, whatever was I thinking? And that's why he made the mention, you know, the world is a stage, and all of us are nothing but actors. Bill had it going on. He was in tune, honey. He had it connected, okay?
He just, you know, I remember when I was reading his stuff, it's like, oh, this language is so filtered.
But he was very connected. And a lot of people, they're guides. Now, see, not everybody has a relationship like Antari and I have. And let me tell you something, folks. Thank whatever deity you give worship to. That you don't, because there's days when I just like to strangle him because he's just a... But every relationship is different, and ours is not so much. It's not rare, but it is unique because he is very verbal. Not everybody's guides are verbal, okay? They're not yakety yak yak yak, okay? Oy vey. Can't shut him up.
I have to say that I would say that mine is rather curt. They're quite disapproving.
Yeah, they all have their own personalities. They have their likes and their dislikes. They have their own set ways of doing stuff. I mean, there is, just think about it, how unique human beings are. The only, because I asked Antari one time, I said, what's the difference between a spirit guide and me? And I remember the impression I was getting that he was looking me up and down. He goes, well, duh, you have a physical body and I don't. You know, and I'm going, okay, you know, fine. And he went on to explain to me, he goes, that's the only difference between you and I, is that you have a physical body, okay? You came down to have a physical experience. I came down to help you get through it and get your butt back home, hopefully in one piece, if we're lucky, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's very interesting because we each have all these different people who are guides. There's a different, you know, he explained the different types of guides. There's human guides. There's animal guides, plants, insects, interdimensional, interplanetary, the elements. And because it was really funny, he goes, when he was explaining to me that guides come in every shape, form, and fashion, and species. And I'm looking at him, I'm going, species? He goes, yes, you heard me correctly, species. And in the book, Interview with a Spirit Guide, he goes into minute detail about the various types of guides, how they help us, and what they do, and when they come in, and how to recognize them. You can usually recognize a guide. Handiwork is when you're sitting there, especially when you're at your deepest, darkest moment, and you feel like everybody in the world has turned their back on you, and then all of a sudden you feel this warmth, you feel this renewed strength, you feel this new motivation come over you, and that is one of the ways that they help us. Or somebody just shows up out of the blue and says, hey, what are you doing? You know, get your thumb out of your butt and let's get moving. But like I said, just think of guys as a director of a play, and you're the big, you know, production on Broadway.
Yeah, I like your description of it because I'd never regarded it that way, I guess you might say. You know, I have my nicknames for my guide, you might say, which range from the dead dude when I'm in a reasonably good mood to, because mine at one time was a human, you know, had a normal human life, you know, but that's just not what he's doing right now. And, you know, he's curt. He tends to show up to inform me of my deficiencies. Yeah, that's what I'd call it, deficiencies. Yeah. Yeah, he tends to point out my deficiencies. If my conscience wasn't beating me up already, he would.
Oh, yeah. They're good at that, too. A lot of people think that guides are real, you know, they're just very, very soft and very wishy-washy. Well, some guides are wishy-washy and mealy-mouthed, and there's some who are very forthright and who will just sit there and say, you know what, you're a big dummy, okay? So who are you talking to, you? I'm sorry, they'll do a Robert De Niro on me and go, I'm sorry, there's no one else in the room, I guess I'm talking to you. And this is what was shocking, because I was under the impression long time ago that all, you know, all the spirit beings were all sweet and wishy-washy, you know, basically pushovers. Come to find out, no. But yeah, think about the people in your life. Are all the people in your life wishy-washy, mealy-mouthed? Are they soft-spoken? No.
Yeah, I have to admit, wishy-washy, mealy-mouthed, so soft-spoken is sort of going to end up as a doormat with my crowd. Nobody's going to even notice them after the first 3 minutes. They're under somebody's feet somewhere. And that's the thing is, too, some of us tend to spend more time with more bulldozer-like people, and some of us tend to spend more time with butterflies and ballerinas,
Yeah. Whatever gets you through the lifetime, okay? Because I'm like you, Jia. I have one of my guides, she is very soft-spoken. She doesn't get too much said to me because I usually ignore her because I'm too busy yelling and screaming and arguing with Antari. But there was a question in the virtual auditorium.
Right.
Has Julia ever heard of a spirit guide being credited with someone picking winning lottery numbers? Yes. As a matter of fact, I have. And it was an interesting story because it was the first time I ever heard of it. And it just so happened that the woman, when she won the lottery, she turned around. She won quite a bit of money. And she turned around and she gave it away. And when I asked her, why did you do that, she said, because God gave it to me to see what I would do. But she credited her guide because she asked her guide for the numbers, and he gave them to her.
Uh-huh.
And she said, if I kept it, she said she was really afraid that something bad was going to happen to her. Did she give me any money? No, I wasn't part of the scheme, unfortunately. But
I need a winning lottery on a new laptop. I had killed my new laptop, and of course I did not buy accidental damage protection because, laptops always lasted years for me. Except this one. It made it 100 days. I had a 90-day warranty. It made it 100 days.
But yeah, it depends on if it's in your chart or not. Your guides read your chart. They know what's in your chart. There are people who are actually, they were smart. I don't know if it was smart or not, but the thing of it is that, yeah, there have been people who have had their spirit guides give them the numbers. My spirit guide and I, we went to a gambling casino that's right across the river from us over in Indiana, one of which I'm barred from now. But, he helped me win all kinds of games over there. Yeah, long story short, I got patted down by the security guard. One of them was kind of cute. I wouldn't mind going back. But anyway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they had me on tape because they thought I was wired. They saw me talking. I forget, and I talk to Antari like he's, everybody, like he's in the physical, and I forget, and I talk, and it looks like I'm talking to myself. So they thought I was wired because I was winning blackjack. I've gotten up to $5,000. Thank you, sir. Anyway, yeah, and they met us at the door.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was him. His way of teaching me a lesson.
Well, yeah, I've been told that, psychic people rarely can do much directly benefit themselves financially, and I'm not sure exactly why.
Well, I tell you what, I'm still working on that because even holding down a job is for personal gain. Okay, even if I was to go to work at Burger King,
I mean you're not doing it for fun.
I'm not going to be going and getting all tired and achy just for all the giggles in the world, right? So if, I go to a fast food restaurant, that is still personal gain, okay? So I'm still breaking free from that because I think that's some ancient taboo that somebody got started and that we're breaking free from because there is nothing wrong with, using your abilities to get money. Now, gambling, is not looked upon favorably by anyone, whether you're psychic or not. And I feel, now this is my personal opinion, Gia, but I feel the reason why that psychics, just had a little cokey there. I love it. And a little soda pop. But anyway, I quit smoking, can you tell? I'm just really hyper. But anyway, no, smoking's bad, by the way, children. Do not smoke. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yes, because because I feel that my personal opinion is that psychics get started using their abilities to win, you know, gamble, you know, the gamble, that would become an addiction. And then that's what they would just focus on doing is, to, you know, getting the next fix. And that's my opinion. That's the only way I could see why psychics are not allowed to use their powers for that.
Uh-huh. And well, you know, because, you know, anytime, you know, you're employed as a psychic or you use your psychic abilities in the course of your employment, you're using your abilities for personal gain.
Right.
But yet, to win the lottery, to gamble, those things are prohibited. And to me, it seems extremely illogical.
It is. See, I'm still working on the answer because, like I said, anything I do is for personal gain. And because a lot of people are just now, well, the world is just now getting over the fact that psychic readers are charging because, you know, there's still a lot of people who look down on that. And I say, excuse me, it's an exchange of energies. Because it took me a long time.
Well, you know, the thing is that if you are a good singer, people pay to come listen to you. Now, if you're a bad singer, they won't pay as much as they'll pay at all.
Exactly.
So, you know, if you're a good athlete, it, you know, you're paid for your abilities. So why not? I mean, you know, psychic ability is like the ability to walk. Everybody has it more or less to, you know, some degree. Some people will become Olympic runners, and some people are barely able to cross a room. That's the reality of walking. Why can't it be the same with psychic abilities? It's simply another skill everybody has. Some have more, you know, beginning talent, you might say, than others. Some work harder to develop the talent they have than others. The end result is some become Olympic quality, you know, athletes of a fashion, you might say, and some don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not sure where I'm still in the running, so... I don't know about an Olympic athlete, but I am. I do get out and exercise quite regularly. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. I agree with you, because everyone, you know, I tell people all the time, I said, this is what I can't get over in our day and age with all the computers that we got, the Internet. People are still stupid when it comes to something as simple as understanding what the word psychic is. And the word psychic itself is a Greek word for soul. Psychic is a Greek word for soul. So that means we're all souls, I'm assuming as much.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore we're all psychic because it's a Greek word for soul. And a psychic reader is nothing but someone who can connect to the soul and read the energies. And I help people understand that. I do one-on-one teaching sessions to help people understand and become more enlightened so they can pass the information on to other people because I can't stand stupid. Stupid gets on my nerves, man.
Yeah, stupid by choice to me is just about the most annoying thing on earth. Now, if someone is intellectually handicapped and can't figure it out. That's one thing. But people who are stupid by choice, it's such a waste of air. You know?
It is. It's waste of a lot, you know. So, you know, you get off my planet, you know, leave room for the other people. Because, I can't do it. I've been surrounded by stuck on stupid people for a long time, and I'm finally breaking free.
You know, I'm amazed at the people who find, it's usually women, they find being stupid cute. And it's like, you are not cute. You are an embarrassment. You know, I was like, wise up. You cannot be that stupid, really.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I mean. Here we are, excuse me, in the year 2008. We're, you know, halfway through this year, getting close to 2012, people. Is your heart beating yet? Boom, 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 boom. And 2012, I love that because some people are just going, oh my God, 2012, get over it. It's just like 2000. You remember the year 2000? Oh my God, Y2K. Anyway,
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just calm down, people. No, here it is, 2008, and women are still thinking that it's okay to be dumb. Boy, you just hit a sore point there. I just got through talking with a client of mine who's going to get duct taped to a cactus if she doesn't start listening to me. And I know she's listening to the show. Do not make me embarrass you tonight, okay? Because I will. This woman, she says, well, I don't know why he doesn't love me. You know, I guess I should have learned how, you know, I should have finished high school. I said, you didn't finish high school? Well, no. I'm going, why? Because I didn't feel like the need. I'd just get married and he could take care of me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I'm going, really? Okay. Well, now he's talking about leaving her. Why? Because he can't, he doesn't want to raise a wife. He wants to, you know. And ladies, men don't like, I mean, you attract stupid. If you're going to act stupid, you're going to attract it.
Well, even if you take it to its real core, okay, and you reduce roles to the traditional male and female, the women, you know, ran the household and raised the children. If a stupid person is taking care of the house and raising the children, we're not even going to talk about the genetic contribution to the children. She's just raising them. How can she teach them much of anything? How can she run an orderly household?
Well, I don't know. That's what I keep asking them. I just, you know, because I really, I'm amazed, Gina, because I get people come to me, and they've got this mindset that you hear about, you know, that your mothers and your grandmothers went through. Not my grandmother, because my grandmother was, she'd beat you upside the head with her cane and keep going, you know. But these people, you know, the 50s mindset, 40s and 50s, I said, and these women are younger than me. I said, where are you all getting these ideas? This is what a woman is supposed to do, be stupid and helpless. I don't know.
I don't even think it dates from the 40s and 50s because, you know, I knew my grandparents and great-grandparents and all the way back to born in the 1800s. Stupid wasn't in my family tree, okay? These women were not stupid. They may not have held jobs outside the home. Some of them did, some of them didn't, because I have a number of teachers, which was the only career open to women in the early part of the 1900s. You know, still, they were not stupid women. Even if they didn't go, you know, to a lot of school or whatever, they were self-educated.
Mm-hmm.
They were, you know, they may not know how an atom bomb was created, but they knew a lot of stuff, you know, and it was because they needed to know these things. They couldn't afford to be stupid, you know? Yeah, so I don't understand that it's cute to be stupid thing.
No,
I can remember when my daughter was a teenager and she'd bring home these girlfriends that were all giggles and let's pretend we're stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, oh, no. I'd tell these girls, I said, you know, I don't think it's cute. You might, you know, the boys might think it's cute, your parents might think it's cute, but in my house, that is regarded as just stupid by choice.
In my house, it'll get you duct taped to a cactus.
Yeah.
I'm serious, because I have one daughter, and she knows better, okay?
Well, I have to say, my daughter would never dream of doing the stupid routine. Other than it's a tongue-in-cheek sort of joke on somebody, you know.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and she's not above that. She's a cute little blonde, and, yeah, she'll do that kind of stuff on occasion. But is it her full-time role? No.
I mean, you know, I have learned a lot about, you know, the male gender and everything from talking to, experts. And I actually met a woman who's considered an expert on men, and she enlightened me on something I knew all along but didn't realize how really important it was at the time. And she, you know, because when women go out to shop, window shop, now, if I said, come on, we're going to go window shopping, you'd know that we were going to the mall and looking in the windows, right? Or just going in and out of the stores, right?
Right, right.
You send a man window shopping, they'll bring back a real window.
I have to admit, probably 90% of my friends are male, and that's because most of my interests are more often shared by males. You know, I tend to like things like camping, fishing, rocks, being outdoors. My favorite toy is a blowgun. Okay, I like to sit and shoot rats with a blowgun. All right, now y'all know I've got a really gruesome side. But
sounds
after
like
the hurricane, I would sit out and I would shoot rats with a blowgun. Yeah, you know they run on the power lines and stuff. I hate them. I lived in the Four Corners area, and you just develop this phobia because of the hantavirus and bubonic plague.
Oh, you hate rats.
They're just all bad. And yeah,
I like that though. Blow, I like that. Now, see that to me, that's fun.
Well, the blowgun happens to be something that, you know, if you believe in past lives, at some point in my past life, I must have used a blowgun regularly, because from the first time somebody handed one to me and I used it, it was like, oh, this is cool. I like this. You know, puff of air, off goes the dart.
Boom, there he goes. Woo, let's do it again. No, but men are very literal, and God bless them. They can only focus on one thing at a time. And
uh-huh.
It's true. Men's brains are different than ours, so we have to. Women, you know, they're not defective as I once thought. See, I thought they were just genetically defective.
Ah.
And they're not. Men are not hairy women.
Ooh, thank goodness for that.
See what you learned. See what you learn. I learned this from two of my friends who are experts, one of which is a man expert. She goes around the country talking and helping women understand men better. And I'm going, gee whiz, you know, I never thought of a man being a hairy woman, but she mentioned this to me. She said, yeah, 90% of women actually look at men and see them as hairy women. Well, I know some of my guy friends are, you know, drag queens, so yeah, that kind of fits, but anyway, they are.
I was just saying, I used to work in tourism, and I worked with people who came from all over the world, okay? And, you know, Americans have this thing about removal of body hair on women, all right? And we just don't like body hair on women. We regard it as unfeminine. But that's not the way it is in all countries. And some of these women come and it's like, geez, do you comb it?
Are you watching the chat room?
No, are you coming to Yeti?
No, stars in there saying that about probes and NASA's we're in. And I don't know, I get a little nervous when two of them are being. I'm sorry.
Yeah, every once in a while they pop up with something that really sort of pushes the envelope in the virtual auditorium. And once again, folks, for those of you who are not in the virtual auditorium, you can join by going to www.poundtalk.com, download the program, create your nickname, and you can join us. We're under social issues in the miscellaneous category. And you'll find us in the UFO Paranormal Radio Network room. You can raise your hand in there and ask a question, or you can call in on the toll-free number 1-877-786-0562. And I'm also told that they have a web loader so that you don't have to download the program, which if you're at work and, you know, you sort of have limited access as to what you can do, that might be an option for you. So just go to www.UFOParanormalRadioNetwork.com, or you can go to www.ExogenyNetwork.com and find the links there. So where were we again?
Lord.
Wandered all over the universe.
Old men, drag queens.
Yeah, I'm sure that we have all played a number of practical jokes for people. I know that I have dressed up as a man, and I could fool people at, say, 10 feet, as long as I didn't speak.
Well, yeah. Let me see. I've dressed up as a man. I was in a cast party for La Cage aux Folles, and we were, you know how that goes. Also was in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I did it for Halloween, and I dressed as a mechanic, and I used mascara to draw on 5 o'clock shadow. I was sort of limited and challenged as far as makeup went. So, my 5 o'clock shadow was drawn on with mascara, and that was really interesting getting it off after the evening, too. It wasn't the easiest stuff. Don't use waterproof mascara to create 5 o'clock shadow for Halloween. It's not a good thing.
Okay.
I thought I was going to end up using Comet to get it off my face.
I was in here trying to find that question that was asked about. What was that question again? Where is it at?
Well, maybe they can post it again.
Something is it trivial to, wait a minute, something about...
Oh, yeah, to think that a spirit guide is not helpful in doing something as simple as helping one find their car keys or eyeglasses.
Yes, it is trivial. Because, as Antari always pointed out to me, he goes, they are your car keys, they are your house keys, therefore they are your responsibility. I am not here to hold your hand, lead you around, and do your dirty work. Thank you, Antari. Anyway, that's what he tells me all the time.
In another sense, a lot of things that are really major events to us might be regarded as rather trivial by a spirit guide. You know, things like marriage, divorce, job changes, career changes, major financial decisions. So spirit guides, on the scheme of universal things in our spiritual growth, these may seem totally irrelevant.
Well, it all depends on who you're marrying, what the job entails, and does it go against what you came to do?
so isn't out there.
Yeah,
So if you're doing good or doing really, really bad, they're more likely to speak up and voice their opinion.
Yeah, if they're really, into giving their opinion. A lot of them don't have an opinion either way, unless you got someone like Antari with a big, motor mouth. Like right now, if he doesn't shut up, you're going to hear him. You're going to have a big loud thump in the wall because I'm getting ready to throw duct tape. But he has to stay on me. I'm the type of person. If you're the type of person like myself, you have to just completely, stay on top of me to get something done. He's going, like a drill sergeant, and I'm very mouthy. But if it's someone, is very laid back and they know to do what they came to do and they do it, then the guy just, kind of nudges them along and says, they don't say too much and don't give an opinion. But there are those out there in the spirit realm that have got an opinion and they'll let it be known. They will.
Well, I think about it, to anyone on the outside, it looks like most of my life decisions have been spur of the moment. I moved to New Orleans on a decision made before dawn one day. I hadn't been thinking about it the day before, but that's what I decided to do it. I decided to propose seemingly out of the blue and did it until he said yes. All sorts of things like this seemingly are just decisions, major decisions made on the spur of the moment.
Well, a lot of times they're not, though. A lot of times, believe it or not, you're being guided and nudged to do what to follow your own instructions that you left behind with your guides.
So we leave instructions with our guides before we embark on this journey.
Yeah, it's called your script, or a lot of people what they call a contract.
Okay, the script. All right.
And you have variables in the script. Like you'll say, well, if I get to a certain place in my life, it's like plotting it out. It's like imagine you're sitting and you're plotting this out. You got the play all written out, but it says, okay, we want to leave room for a little, improvisational thing, because we want to spice things up. Like you, Gia, you like to spice things up, so you leave a little room for the improv, because you want to, be able to get some spice stuff.
Well, hold those improv thoughts, because it is time for our first break, folks. While you're waiting for our return, you can find all sorts of fascinating information including the live page that's only up during the live portion of the show. All of it is at www.exogenynetwork.com. That's spelled E-X-O-G-E-N-Y-N-E-T-W-O-R-K.com. Stay tuned, and the Donna Shays will be right back with tonight's guest, Julia Cole. Welcome back to the Donna Shays. I'm your host, Gia Scott. I would like to invite everyone to bring up the webpage, www.exogenynetwork.com, and take a look around. There's a bio and links for tonight's guest there. Julia, would you give the audience your website, too?
You can find me at namastebeloved.com.
Very good. Now, we were at the point of improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, welcome to the improv, Donna Shays style.
Well, you know, every one of us come in with a contract and with a script, but I'm not going to say the majority of us, but a good number of us, we put in what we call variables where we can improv or just, you know, fly by the seat of our pants kind of thing, because we're very free spirits when we come in. And not everybody's a free spirit, by the way. Not everybody can handle that improv. So our guides help us coordinate the improv moments, the variables. You see, and they leave us out there, you know, to ice skate on our own a couple of times, because, you know, there's been people come to me and goes, why can't I feel, because I used to feel my guides and now I don't. I said, well, they're just following your instructions because you wanted to go solo at this point in your life, so they're just standing back. They're still there, but they're just waiting for you to, you know, get finished with your improv, you know, I can't say that big word, improv. So they'll do that. And we do have variables. Everybody has variables, but some of us a little more than others because we do like to do improv. But we still have the outline of our script that we are still following, and our guides are basically, like I said, once again, just think of your primary guide. The one primary guide is the director of your play. Okay, you're the big Broadway production, and he or she is the director.
Mm-hmm.
And now sometimes the director actually has a speaking part in that, production. And sometimes they don't. They're just directing traffic, okay, you know, basically, and bringing in the other actors, whatever the actors may be. So
we do have a question in the virtual auditorium in text. And it's, what are the significances of others seeing animal forms and psychic impressions of your spirit guide?
Well, the significance, and you have to deal with this on an individual basis, okay, because it means different things to different people during that particular time in their life that they're seeing these animal spirit guides. Now, a lot of people, when they're first starting to open up to their soul awareness, or what we would call their psychic awareness, they'll start seeing images of wolves, you see, of a wolf, usually a lone wolf. I've known people who've seen them in packs. But this is usually happens when people are starting to open up to their awareness, their conscious awareness of their abilities to connect. And you see, if you go and look up the definition of a wolf in Native American shamanism or animal totems, you will find out that the wolf is the great teacher. She comes in and teaches you and reminds you that you have this ability to pass on to help others. This is what the wolf signifies. the owl.
Now, I have a friend that in his particular case, often what the image I will see is of a bear with bees buzzing around his face and the bear shaking his head. You know, what would be the significance of this? Because I distinctly, anytime I see this bear, I automatically think of this particular friend.
Well, think about the annoyance of the bees are doing. Now, what do bees represent? Busy, 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 busy. And think about the bear, the great strength of the bear. You know, the bear knows when to hibernate. The bear knows when to go eat. You know, the bear, you know, is very intelligent, okay? But the bees are flying around his face, annoying him. So that would tell me that something at work, or maybe work itself, was creating an annoyance for him. And perhaps that he needs to listen to Brother Bear and go and, you know, go catch himself a trout and take it easy. Or maybe he should go and pick some berries. You know, be like the bear. You know, bears. Remember the Jungle Book? Remember Big Baloo? The bear necessities. The bear necessities, the simple bear. You get it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now think about it. It's flying around his face. Ask your friend, what the hell?
I think about it. To me, I'm definitely afraid of bears, and I cannot associate fear with this particular friend. So it's like, why do I see this bear? You know?
Well, it's because bears are cuddly, really. If you think, and bears are very, I'm going to tell you something. Bears
see,
are
I
really
see, great. I see bears as a predator that can run 35 miles an hour, and I can't. You know,
well, that's
the fact
you,
that
though.
I do. Yeah, I know. But, I'm saying in my case, I'm the one seeing the bear.
Okay, you're the one seeing the bear. Brother Bear is showing himself to you. And the reason not to scare you, but to remind you of those bear necessities. Okay? Seriously, I'm not kidding. You know, because sometimes animals will show up, especially... There's a lady I know, she's petrified of spiders. And do you know one of her totems is a spider?
Ah.
And Grandmother Spider is helping her to, you know, because Grandmother Spider is a dream weaver, okay? She, you know, she weaves the web of dreams, okay? And she's asking you, whenever she shows up in your life, to look at your dreams for what they really, really mean. They are teachers. They are there to help you.
Well, I tell you what, the dream weavers have had a lot of fun with me over the past few weeks. I had the most bizarre dream about my boss, who is nearly 70 years old, dressed up in a schoolgirl uniform, complete with knee-high socks and pigtails.
Ooh, baby, baby.
And her husband was dressed up as Humpty Dumpty.
All right.
Yeah, and they were acting very odd. I wonder why.
Gee, really?
You know, I was having to follow them around, and I remember saying, I've got to call her son. You know, call her sons, because she's not acting right. You know, I'm thinking, she's skipping around and turning air conditioners on in the winter and heaters in the summer, and, you know, I'm doing very, very odd things. And I finally, you know, I said, I have to call her sons. She's just not right. Yeah. And it was the most bizarre dream. I mean, I could still see them dressed up like that. I mean, it would have been hilarious outfits for Halloween, but it wasn't very funny in this dream.
No, I would say not. But think about what's going on in your life and what these symbolisms would mean to you. Because when it comes to dream interpretation, I know we're all over the map here, but it all interrelates, okay? I know there's a lot of information out there on animal totems and everything, but what I would like for each one of you to do is to take time and to ask the animal, what does it mean? Look at the animal, study the animal, and it could be an insect, too. Study the insect. If you have, you know, because you've got all this on Internet, you can watch it through videotape, and watch this. And see how it represents, what it represents in your life or what it's trying to tell you. Now, with dreams, same thing. Look at what's going on in your life. What could possibly be going on in your life that you have such a dream? Perhaps you're just seeing how kooky they are.
you know, you're picking up how really, you know, kooky everything is, and that's how your dream translates over.
Humpty Dumpty, yeah, it was just like, you know, remember those books when we were kids, golden books, they had, back in the 60s, they had these beautiful illustrations. And it was a Humpty Dumpty, very like that, complete with the button on. Suspenders. I'm trying to think of what they were called. Suspenders. The ridiculously bright colors, the goofy looking shoes, bottom shoes.
Yeah.
The whole bit, And there he was, dressed as Humpty Dumpty, and acting just as goofy. He even had yellow hair. He does not have yellow hair, but he even had yellow hair.
Well, see, now think about how fragile Humpty Dumpty was. Think about even, in the ridiculous outfit, he fell down, had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Now, what is it that's going on, that you're projecting, what's going on in your life that you feel is so fragile that all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't, put it back together again?
Well, obviously, being newly engaged and all that, I've got a lot going on in my life. A lot of upcoming changes and all sorts of things going on. I guess dreaming vividly, even if they are wild, crazy, weird dreams.
Well, and I'm going to tell you something, too. A lot of this is the vivid dreaming, the really weird and outlandish dreamings is also, now we're getting ready to jump over to another subject here, but it's also the one of the symptoms of what we are called the ascension or the awakening process. And what we're doing, everyone is undergoing a mass conscious awareness process, or awakening, and people are becoming more in tune and more aware of what's going on a spiritual level. And this includes having these weird and wacky dreams, more so than usual. Now, for me to have a wacky dream, it would have to be what everybody else would consider normal. Okay? Because all my life I've always had these very incredible sci-fi-like dreams, and they were very, very intense, in living color kind of thing. So to me, you having a dream of, I almost said Mr. Potato Head, but what's his name? Humpty Dumpty.
Humpty Dumpty, yeah.
Mr. Potato Head, I don't know where that came from, but anyway, I need a cigarette is what I need, people, but that's okay, I'm going to quit, and that's it. But anyway, I keep telling myself what it, well, okay. Anyway, Humpty Dumpty, Mr. Believe this, but anyway, to me that's normal. Okay, that would be to me a normal thing. But to everybody else, they're going Humpty Dumpty, okay.
It's just I usually don't have golden book characters appearing in my dreams, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah, well, that's and now, like I said, we're in the midst of the ascension, or what a lot of people are calling the awakening or the transition, and you're going to start seeing more and more of those strange dreams happening now to you.
You know, another thing that I've heard a lot of talk about here lately is serial dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Dreams that, it's like a whole, much more in depth than even a movie. It's a whole series of dreams revolving around
now in the series, what you were doing, you were in tune with what was going on or what was getting ready to happen. And this is very, very, actually, this is very common. When we get in tune with nature, and sometimes we're not consciously aware of that we are actually in tune with certain aspects of nature or with the people around us. And then we start having what you call a serial dream. It's like, an ongoing soap opera. And it picks up, sometimes it's like a soap opera. You don't get the next scene until a couple of days later, but you got the in-between scenes, just like if you were watching a soap opera on TV. Now, what's going on is that you're subconsciously taking in information of everything, of all the people around you, and filtering it in and watching it take place. Now, the dome house is, now think about the dome house. In ancient times, and in some cultures still, it is considered very dangerously on a spiritual level to have a house that's built, you know, with four corners. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And that a dome dwelling is much safer because the spirits, you know, evil spirits won't have anywhere to hide, you know, because they believe that evil spirits, hid into corners up above, you know, in your room and everything. Which I'm not too quick to, you know, shove that idea aside because I've seen some really nasty spirits and they usually are hovering right up in the corner of your room. Everybody will be turning on the lights now when I'm leaving, checking the corners. But a dome house, think about the safety. The safety. You're thinking of safety, number one. You're thinking of, you know, having somewhere where you feel protected, maybe. But like I said, just think about the surroundings, you know, in the dream, in the whole series of the dreams, the hurricanes, the devastation, and what the dome house represented to you. Perhaps you were tapping into an ancient lifetime.
I don't know, because it did crop up again this winter because, once again, I had started having serious dreams about round houses. This time it was like yurts and whatnot. You know, it was very, very, you know, okay, come on now, you know.
Yeah, well, you may be tapping into that old belief system where, you know, the four-corner houses are not safe. Because, you know, there's a lot of people who still believe that four, you know, they won't even own a table that's got four corners. It has to be round. I know that a friend of mine who does feng shui, she believes in having rounded, you know, things, you know, like there, you know, no sharp corners in the house, nothing, because she said it clogs up the energy. So you might want to look into it, you know, just do a little meditation on it and ask, you know, yourself and just let yourself see what it's trying to tell you. Because, you know, no one is, you know, an expert on dreams except the dreamer themselves. You're your own expert when it comes to dreaming.
Well, you know, even when you look at these books, so dream interpretation, dream symbology, yada, 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 what something symbolizes to me may not symbolize the same thing to you.
Absolutely.
Or to the guy on the corner or someone in the virtual auditorium. You know, the thing is that if I drop a knife on the floor, you know, I go right back to the old wives' tale. Okay, that means a man is coming to visit, and whatever direction the knife is pointing, that's the direction they're coming from. Okay, you know, and whether it happens or not, that's what pops into my head. I don't know if it's true or not. I've never paid that much attention. You know, it's just, that's an old story that I'd always been told. If it's a knife, it's a man. If it's a fork, it's a woman. If it's a spoon, it's a child.
Yeah, and I see my grandmother taught me that, and I just thought that was so ridiculous. Well, look at the dream of teeth. A lot of people believe that if you dreamt of your teeth falling out, that meant it was going to be a death in the family. Well, for me, every time I dream of my teeth falling out, I usually wake up and spit one of them out. Okay, because it really means, because sometimes, just like Freud said, sometimes a dream of a cigar is just that. It's just a cigar.
Right.
You know, and for me, what, like I said, and then, you know, there are some people who are terrified of those dreams of teeth falling out because they've come to believe that's what it means. I don't understand what the connection there is, but I found it very interesting that, you know, the belief systems that people still have.
Well, okay, to dream about someone braiding their hair or that you are braiding your hair, that is a dream supposedly signifying spell weaving or trying to control someone, that you're doing something to someone or someone's doing something to you.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, that may not mean that to you, but if I dreamed that, that's what I'd wake up, you know, kind of going, ooh, you know.
I know, it's very interesting. So, folks, think about it, it's your dream, or it's, you know, your animal totem. You can go get the basics and get the foundation, but look at the animal and study it and figure out what it means to you in your own life. Because and your animal guides, by the way, do change as you grow, as you become more arounding and more aware of your own abilities and more aware of why you're here. Your animal totems will change. Now, and so will your guides. Now, you have one primary guide that stays with you throughout your entire lifetime, but you have other guides who come in and help you. Sometimes they'll bring in a situation that needs to be faced or a person that you need to meet that will help you get over a certain fear. And it's really interesting how this all, it's an incredible network. It really is. Our internet is, it pales in comparison as to what's going on in that realm over there, because you've got billions upon billions upon billions of souls help.
Oh, where did Julia go?
I'm right here.
Oh, good. All of a sudden, you just cut out for a second. And I was like, oh, no.
I was going to say, yeah, because I heard the silence. I went, oh, no, phone. I told you we had this little talk. We will not cut out until after the show.
No technological glitches allowed, right?
That's right. And I'm totally on Tari about that. I think I'm going to blame, I put all the blame on him. But an interview with a spirit guide, which will be out in time for Christmas this year.
Good.
You'll get to read all the different, because we also touch, you know, on information, what happens to you when you die, the different types of deaths, what happens. Because I had asked him about that. I said, well, what about haunting?
You will have to make sure that your publisher sends me some copies.
Of course. Well, you know she will, because you know it's, well, Charlie. she's already got this big, long list of all the people who get the books, and it's really funny, but yeah, we talk about, I mean, there's nothing that we do not talk about, Antari and I, and it's our hope that it will help people understand a little more.
Yeah, sometimes I wish my spirit guide was a little bit more proactive rather than reactive. You know, the most memorable conversations I've had with him have been along the lines of him telling me, people like you shouldn't do that. You know, he does not regard lapses of judgment as allowable. You know, he doesn't think I should drink.
No, Mr. G.R., okay, the question, well, say, no, ask, okay, did you ask him why? Gia?
Oh, because it's an impairment of my judgment.
Okay. And do you think that was the wrong thing for him to say?
Well, I think it's a little restrictive. I mean, he thinks I should be a teetotaler.
Well, he needs to get a body. You know, I always tell Antari, why don't you get a life, okay? Get a life. But
and mine tells me he already had one.
Yes, thank you. Had one. Moved on.
Yeah.
And the question in the chat room, spirit guides are not allowed to impact our lives negatively. Okay, well, that's actually a relative term, because we as humans, we tend to perceive rather than stop and actually see things for what they really are. Okay, that star just get on my head, star. Anyway, it's our perception. What we might see as being negative may be for our benefit later on down the road. Keep in mind that they're always have our interest at heart. They're not here.
You know, sometimes I've had a real hard time telling myself that this painful experience that I'm dragging myself reluctantly through and have agonized over and is really, really not much fun at all.
No.
And that can be anywhere from a bad relationship, a horrible job, a poor career choice, whatever. It's actually may have been an important spiritual lesson.
Absolutely. And see, the thing of it is that, and I want to correct Star, it's the perception of the false ego.
because we have to have ego to get around on planet Earth, okay? It's like you can't get around without ego, because spirit doesn't think anything about paying the bills, because all we're connected, where ego knows that, yes, while we may be connected, we still have to write a check to pay the light bill, okay?
And if you don't, they turn off the power.
Exactly, and our spirit selves go, well, that's okay, because I am light. Well, that doesn't fly down here in the third dimension, okay? So we're living in two different realms of thought. We've got our ego, and you know, which we need, and then we have our spirit self, who we got to keep in check. But spirit guides only give suggestions. They give advice, okay? And the only time they're allowed to interfere is when you have gone off so far off track that you're endangering yourself and other people whose time has not yet, you know, come for them to cross over. And that's the only time they're allowed to actually jump in and interfere. No, Gia's spirit guides did not influence her engagement, but they did help it along.
No, okay, define that. They didn't influence it, but they helped it along. I mean,
they helped
what does
it
that
along.
Really mean?
Not so much as influence. See, there's a difference between meddling and whispering and, you know, and everything, and actually doing your job and making sure that you stay on track. And they kept, you know, nudging you because, you know, both of you kept going, and it's like seeing each other and then turn and go separate ways. You're walking down the hallway and you turn and go down separate ways. So they decided, okay, if you're going to keep doing that, we'll just connect those separate hallways until you keep running into each other. This is a metaphor, not an actual thing.
Right, right.
And they kept making sure that you stayed on each other's minds. That's not influencing. That's doing their job. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And that's it's not influence. Now, if it had been influence, that would be meddling and doing something they shouldn't have been doing. But they were doing their job.
Okay, so they were just sort of like putting the two flowering trees side by side to make sure that they produce fruit. Okay.
Yeah, they had to make sure that you all followed, you know, you were following your script. And it looked like both of y'all were kind of kept going, no, I'm not ready. And even though, you know, the director says, okay, it's time to come on stage, you go, no, I forgot my lines. Okay, theater of lines. You know, just push her out there on stage and let's go already. And that's what they did. So that's.
Well, I have to admit, I never in my wildest dreams anticipated proposing to anybody. It didn't occur to me. I didn't anticipate ever getting married again.
Ah, yes, and see, that's the splendor of it all, you see. But
you know,
I was
just going along doing my little old thing, you know, and it was like, whoa, what?
And this is why both your guides had to come in and says, wait a minute, they both think they're not going to be getting married. Get over here. You know, we got to do something. Because it's in the script. They're not following the script. and this is no improv either. Oh my! So that's when they said, "Yeah, okay, that's it. They'll keep building those railroad tracks until both trains hit," and they did.
I guess so. Yeah, we're actually a number of the people that had emailed me were curious about who I was engaged to. Who was my fiance? And so we thought we would have a little bit of fun with it. So, for the time being, we do have a poll posted on the website, exogenynetwork.com, where you can put in what you think are facts about my fiancé. And after we do this poll, and, you know, we might do a different one or whatever, eventually we will put up a proper announcement and all that kind of stuff. But since we didn't have a date, we hadn't gotten around to that. So, yeah. Anyhow, you can have a little bit of fun and put in your 2 cents worth. And just go to www.exogenynetwork.com.
I still say a Halloween
wedding.
A Halloween wedding, huh? Yeah, well, my mother said, well, you know, she was going on a cruise in the end of September, and please don't do it then. And I'm starting to think, you know, eloping is beginning to sound good.
No eloping. We've got to have a nice big Halloween party. It falls on a Friday this year, by the way.
Let's see, what was I doing last year Halloween? I was on my way to Minnesota.
Minnesota, eh?
Yeah, Minnesota. I was going to actually to visit my father. My father actually has cancer and hasn't been doing well, but I had gone to see him then. And we were heading out of here. My daughter had decided to go out the night before because I did a radio show the night before, and she went out, and I think she sampled some of everything on the bar.
Ooh.
Which everyone who has been there, done that, knows what happened.
Sounds like fun. All right.
At 7 a.m., I asked her if she was going to be able to travel because we were supposed to leave at 6. And we very slowly, I think it was about 8 when we actually left here, we very slowly made our way across Mississippi because we had to stop frequently for roadside relief, you might say, because she was very, very sick.
Yeah. I can imagine. Good.
I will never forget that trip. I'll never let her forget that trip. Because I was livid. I was like, you knew we were going to leave.
Oh, that's
but
so
that's
fun.
The joy of being young.
Yes, it is. I only get to go drinking like it once a year, and 1 month actually from tomorrow, that's going to be the day of the year that I go drinking. I go sit out in the cemetery and get drunk.
No, I don't do that. I'm not a teetotaler, but, you know, I really am not much of a drinker. In fact, on the recent camping trip, I was asked if we were going to take along any wine or anything. I said, you know, nobody ever drinks it. Let's just take coffee.
Yeah, just drink it. Because, you know, that's one thing. Getting back to the question, does a guide influence people? Now, actually, what they can do, they helped you with the engagement and everything. But they will, per the instructions that you left behind, they will initiate certain physical ramifications if you don't follow your own instructions, like quitting smoking, for instance.
Uh-huh.
Because every time I tried to smoke today, I got deathly ill. Because the entire's been on me about quitting. And I do
uh-huh.
need to quit. I'm not going to say I don't. I do. It's a nasty, stinky habit.
It's an expensive habit in a very uncertain economy.
Yes, exactly. And I told him, I said, you know, when I quit, the entire United States economy, what's left of it, is going to collapse completely. And I said, I'm holding it up all by myself. And he just said, you need to quit because it's not healthy for you. When I noticed, I had asked him about, because every time, you know, he goes, well, you did leave instructions, you know, that if you were going to quit smoking at this, you know, particular time, that you were going to make yourself sick. I said, really? So you're going to make, he goes, and I'm going to make sure it happens. He's such a
apparently
fine friend.
My spirit guides haven't, I didn't leave instructions about quitting smoking because I never get sick when it happens, although I have been known to have friends start, non-smoking friends, by the way, start buying me cigarettes after about the first week.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, I'm not real nice or something.
Well, you know, and that's what I told him. I said, you know what happened the last time I tried to quit smoking? Everybody, you know, my kids went out and found their, you know, somebody to buy cigarettes for them and brought them to me. Because I'm very hateful and I'm very snotty, and then I get really hyper. And, he says, well, no, he told me, he goes, no, you told me, if, you know, at this certain time, if, you know, in your life, in your experience, this is when you were going to actually quit. And he goes, I'm going to make sure you do. He's a very loyal friend, and I hate him. Anybody want to use guide? But anyway, they will help you. They'll help you quit smoking if you want. They'll help you lose weight if you ask them. They're just like your any friend. I just want to put that out there. And if you have a friend, you develop a communication with them. You have to talk to them. They can hear you. They can hear you, oh God. And unfortunately, I can hear them. But anyway.
Mine must be quite entranced by this conversation. I guess I've never publicly discussed my relationship with my spirit guide.
Well, yeah, he seems quite pleased. He's a very attractive gentleman.
Mine or yours?
No, yours. Mine's just a pain in my butt. But anyway.
Oh, believe me, he can look quite ugly if you're just not in the mood for him.
And no, he's a very attractive. He reminds me, I don't know if you ever saw that movie, What Dreams May Come.
No. Nope.
Well, I can't remember the actor's name, but he's in the movie. He's an older gentleman. He played the guy that led Robin Williams to help find his wife on the other side. Oh, you got to watch that movie. That movie just rocks. And no star. star. I don't know what I'm going to do with him.
Yeah, Julia is widowed, so yes, she's officially not currently married.
I am, as Antari would say, otherwise engaged, though.
I don't mind,
you know, hanging out with a woman who hangs out with dead people or spirit people. They don't like for me to call them dead.
Well, you know, even when I refer to my spirit guide as the dead dude.
Yeah.
It's sort of a
like
thing. You know,
like
the dead dude.
I thought that was funny, the dead dude.
I've called him that since I was a teenager, you know, the dead dude.
Yeah, drop dead Fred. There you go. But no, I'm the lady that talks to dead people, hangs out with the spirits, and whoo-wee, baby. I tell you, my kids call me weird, and I said, that's okay, it's hereditary.
You know, and I talk to dead people in my sleep all the time. After my son died, it was about, maybe 2-3 months later, I had this dream. And in the dream, I was at a big family picnic, a huge one, you know, and I was dishing up food for my son. And my grandmother, who was also deceased at the time, you know, then too, mm-hmm. Is standing beside me. And she looked like she did when I was a teenager, not like she did when, you know, I was an adult. And she's looking at me, and because I was looking at my son, and it was like he was decomposing. And I gave him his plate of food, and he went off to eat and everything. And she looked at me, and she says, you've got to quit doing that. And I said, doing what? She says, you've got to let him go, or he's going to keep rotten. And you know, I woke up, and it was like, whoa, talk about getting a message.
Yeah, that was a very straightforward message. That was a very straightforward message. And did you let him go so he could stop?
Well, yeah, you know, obviously, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't like, you know, I was grieving intensely, obviously. But it wasn't like I was going through the motions pretending he was not dead. I wasn't, you know,
right.
I wasn't that nutso. You know, I wasn't really fixing plates of food for him at every meal and stuff like that. But, you know, it was definitely a message. That, you know, maybe I was just really not letting go.
That's a marvelous message, and who better to deliver it than Grandma?
Oh, my grandmother was the Empress of the Universe, okay? She ruled the family. You know, I have a very, very matriarchal family, but she ruled the family, okay? I thought nothing of doing something to make my mother mad. I would eat dirt before I would do something to make my grandmother mad. In my whole life, she raised her voice to me twice. You know, that's it, twice. And the second time maybe really didn't count. I was in my 30s or 40s.
Of course they counted.
Well, what it was is she had become, she wasn't doing well health-wise. And that particular day, she hadn't taken her medicine. She'd left it laying on the table. And I said, Grandmother, you didn't take your medicine. And she started yelling at me. And I reacted like I was a child. You know, and I'd done something wrong because she, you know, said that just wasn't her, obviously. And, you know, less than a week later, she did have a stroke because she was taking her medicine.
Bless her heart.
You know, anyhow, she got very angry at me for treating her like a child. And, you know, I got my mother later that day, and I, you know, an hour or so later, and I said, grandmother did this. And she got her to take her pills, but how many other times did she not have anybody to tell her to take her pills? Because the doctor said she hadn't been taking them in a while. Because the blood test showed that she had. But yeah, you know, it was just one of those things.
Yeah, and I love it when I hear about people having dreams of their family, you know, family members who have crossed over, and they get messages, and they actually listen. And
you could not listen to that message.
Yeah.
It was graphic, 3D color, Technicolor, I mean, complete with gruesome facets, and then the voice of ultimate authority.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, what else, what could I possibly ignore there?
So true, so true.
You know, because culturally, you know, I had been conditioned from birth to regard my grandmother as the ultimate authority on everything. What she said was law, you know, period. You didn't argue with grandmother. You might get someone to act as an intermediary and try to get her to change her mind, but you never argued.
That's right, yeah. You don't argue with the grandmother. Listen, I hang out with discarnates. Very good star.
Discarnates. What on earth would be a discarnate?
Disembodied spirit, I would assume, maybe.
Could be.
I guess he'll tell us in a minute. Star, see me.
We are running low on time now. So before we get too close to that little deadline where I say it's all over with, you want to give your website again?
Okay, sure. You can find me at namastebeloved.com, and all the information is there. And one-stop shopping, namastebeloved.com.
And, of course, we also have her website on her handy-dandy profile at exogenynetwork.com. So any last thoughts before we head off into the sunset?
Well, I just want to remind everyone that be true to thine own self because, well, it's only one of you, and make the most of it, people. Stop looking to the future and stop dwelling in the past.
Stop blaming everybody else for what is going on in your life.
Yeah.
It's all about your choices.
Absolutely. So to thine own self, always be true. Don't think you are. Know you are. Free your mind.
It's such a hard lesson sometimes to learn that we are not the victims of life. We are the main character. And we get to write our play, too, you might say.
Absolutely.
Well, folks, once again, we have run out of time. I have truly enjoyed having Julia on tonight. I know you have, too. Check out the website, www.exogenynetwork.com. That's Exogeny Network, exogenynetwork.com, for updated guest schedules and what is going on where. And one of these days, I'll even post my wedding pictures there. In the meantime, you can keep looking and seeing for when I post something more interesting than just a poll. You can vote the poll. I hope tonight's program has brought an illumination into your personal journey towards truth. And until next week, I am your host, Gia Scott, and good night.